Okay, so today I've spoken a few times about a thing called the frictionless way. These are alternatives to formal meditation practice. So you've got two sorts of practice, formal and informal. We've got formal practice, where we sit down and meditate, and we might do that on a schedule. We might do it on a kind of reasonably regular basis. Then there's informal practice, which is how you train yourself during the day. Now, what we're doing in terms of the mental training is a thing called attention regulation. This is what the scientists who study this sort of thing refer to it as. And attention regulation is exactly what it says. We're regulating our attention. Because if we don't, the world's going to regulate it for us. Now, we can be doing that in a number of different ways. And here they are. This is the frictionless way. Essentially, it's a set of attention regulation opportunities. When we go to bed, often the mind becomes active. It's not unusual for people to explain to me that their mind's calm, relatively under control, but then when their head hits the pillow, their mind fills up with the infinite list of things to do. And if they haven't done any meditation, I don't actually see any way out of that. I mean, if there is one, let me know. Because you have to have your eyes closed to get to sleep, and you're there just with your mind. There's nothing else, so you can't distract yourself in any way. Okay, so there's things like counting sheep and so on. Why count sheep when you can count the breaths? Yeah, so you could be a sheep counter. I really don't know how many people count sheep to get to sleep. I have taught sleep management a fair amount over the course of the last 10 years, and I haven't heard anybody say, oh, I just count sheep. But there are people who take part in mental exercises designed to distract them somehow or another, but I don't think that's sustainable in the long run. Those mental exercises you would have to get better at. So your attention regulation skills would have to improve as part of the process. And if you're going to do that, in order to be able to do that, really, it's got to be a meditation. So if you construct some sort of process where you're focusing your attention internally and regulating your attention, what you'll have done is constructed a meditation of some sort. And if it's effective, then essentially it's a meditation. You could conceivably hit on something that's an ancient meditation and not really realize it. When I say meditation in this particular instance, what I mean is focused attention meditation. So example is following the breath, focus our attention on the breath, mind wanders, bring our attention back to the breath, that kind of thing. All right. So meditation, there you are, eyes closed. You want to regulate your attention in such a way that your mind doesn't go into a loop and you're not drowning in the list of things to do for tomorrow, and you're able to bring your attention back to now, away from all of that, and fall asleep. And then we've got walking meditation, mindful walking and forest bathing. The intervention practices, generally it's pranayama as a rule, as a way of intervening in your internal processes. It could be noting. You can do noting during the day. Your mind might just be going offline and you can bring your attention back to now, yeah, with noting. and you can note your present moment experience. And then there's these live guided meditations. You've also got podcasts, recordings, and apps. So if you're somebody that finds it difficult to do a regular or reasonably regular meditation practice, then having an app, insofar as it works. I've found people spend more time doing my podcasts than they do apps as a rule. Although I know there are some people out there who've used apps, but it doesn't seem to happen for more than a year or two. Then there's Yoga Nidra, which we've done a fair bit of, which is meditations that bring you into the hypnagogic state. And they're practices that you do during your day because what you're doing is recovering your energy, or it's a practice that you do in the evening because it'll enhance your sleep. And then there's opportunistic meditation, which is what I did. So I would go, you know, at the time that I made the most progress, I'm thinking back to the point where I'd been meditating for between 18 months and 2 or 3 years in a big way. When I first started meditating in 1988, my practice was rubbish and I didn't understand it. But when I did begin to understand it and got into it, my practice was bi-weekly, basically. And that would be partly me getting away to do a meditation in nature, or it would be me taking an opportunity to meditate. If everything was right, everything had to be right, and pretty much I'd have to be in nature. It might not be scheduled, but if I went for a walk or I walked through a park or something like that, I'd be able to meditate. And so you take those opportunities. And of course, there was also counting the breaths, which I did to help me get to sleep. So none of those are sitting down doing 30 minutes meditation. They're all opportunities that you can take. This is what I've learned that people do. This is meditation in the 21st century. Okay. So I'm going to do some meditations that unfortunately you can't do on your own today, just so you can see the benefit of it, which is quite significant. But it doesn't mean that this is the only thing you can do. You're stuck with live guided meditations and nothing else. You've got all of these other opportunities as well. So if you'd just like to get yourself comfortable and notice the sound of the bell moving through time. Which gives you an opportunity to check in with your body and an opportunity to relax it. And it gives your body an opportunity to let you know its overall state. So it won't be easy for anybody, and I'm sure from time to time it's difficult for everyone. But if you can, I suppose step back is appropriate here. It's almost like you're stepping back. And allow the total sensory experience of the feeling of the body into your awareness. This isn't so much a body scan. It's, in a way, it's an open awareness practice. Because there isn't a single point. Notice the propensity of the mind to focus on various parts of the body. And that's okay. When you notice it doing that, you just step back. In your mind, and allow the sensory experience of the present moment in. And connect that to the out-breath. So we're associating warm out-breath with the totality of the sensory experience of the body. And now bring your awareness in within the body. And bring your awareness into the space within the body. So when we switch on the sensory awareness at first, essentially what happens is we'll become aware of any discomfort or anything like that. But we'll also become aware of our outer body. And what we're doing now is moving our attention inwards into the space in the body. And this is a soft, gentle awareness. We're not focusing on any of our internal organs or anything like that. We're noticing the space within the body. And now again, move it out, this time including the space very close to the outside of the skin. So this is a palm or two's distance from your body all around you. And also notice that that includes the inner body as well. So it's the inner body, the outer body, your skin and hair and teeth and face and eyes and nails and the contact with clothing and the seat and coolness and warmth and all that, but also one or two palms distance away, all around, like a cocoon around your body. And what we do is repeat the self-compassion mantra. May I be well. May I be happy. May I find peace of mind. May I be well. May I be happy. May I find peace of mind. Just practice that for a couple of minutes while we stay connected. So our physiology like this. And now bring to your awareness the other members of this group, all dotted around the place, all connected for our meditation practice tonight. And whether you know each other or not, Just bring the group to mind. And extend your sense of awareness to include everyone. Just opening our bubble of awareness to let in the sense of this group dotted around the United Kingdom. And we say in our mind, may we be well, may we be happy, may we find peace of mind. May we be well, may we be happy, may we find peace of mind. And of course, this includes you. There's a sense of being at the center of the bubble when we do. May we be well. May we be happy. May we find peace of mind. Practice this for a short while. This is what I call the connection meditation. And now allow the bubble to grow. So the size of Europe, growing and growing to the size of planet Earth. And allow the bubble of your awareness to encompass the entire planet. Eight billion humans, an impossible to count number of living beings, all deeply connected like a single living organism on this lifeboat of a rock spinning round a distant sun. And we say in our mind, may we be well, May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. May we be well. May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. And this is a soft, gentle focus, just soft, gentle, open focus, including all living beings. May we be well. May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. And now slowly, 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 allowing that bubble to shrink. Shrinking down to the size of the continent of Europe and the British Isles. And us group of meditators. And just hold this group in mind. May we be well. May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. May we be well. May we be happy. May we be free from suffering. letting that bubble shrink slowly, slowly, slowly back so that it encompasses you, so that it's just around you. And become aware of your breath at the center of the bubble of awareness. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be free from suffering. Gently becoming aware of the breath. Rising and falling. And aware of sound moving through time. And aware of the bell and aware of your surroundings.